This morning, I am welcoming musician and director of the Western Michigan University School of Music, Bradley Wong, to WMUK's studio. And in fact, we are actually talking about a concert, set of concerts set away from Kalamazoo, away from campus. You're a featured performer this week at the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck. Brad, it's nice to have you here.
Well, good morning. It's wonderful to be here, and it's wonderful to be starting another Saugatuck Festival.
Personally, for you, you've had to juggle the demands of being a director of music, and of course, your primary instrument is clarinet. You want to be able to perform, and that's how you existed as a young person, and it's a love that kind of keeps renewing itself throughout the years. So could you talk a little about how you balance that? And you shared some news with me about maybe having a life change at the end of next year.
Well, the balancing part is difficult, of course. There are enough demands on the job that it's hard to even get all of those tasks done. To be a performer makes it, of course, even more complicated. And even as a faculty member, I think generally the faculty feel like they're neither teaching as well as they like or performing as well as they like, because their demands are split between both of them. So there was actually a time that I think I started playing with Saugatuck in 2000, and then I think it was 2016 or 17, I took a year off because I had been director for a few years and needed to try to balance things a little better. And the easiest thing to let go was some of my performing obligations. So Saugatuck was one of them. Jenny and Drew, the artistic directors, were wonderful and said, of course, open invitation and hope that I would come back. And they were very persistent. And last year they asked about me coming back to do the Poulenc Sextet, which is a wonderful piece and not too complicated. So I said yes to that. And then it was such a warm welcome from not only the musicians, but also the audience at Saugatuck, that I felt like when they asked me to come back again this year and do a little bit more, I just couldn't say no, even though the week has been pretty crazy. But you're right, it's the music that sustains us. And it's the clarinet that brought me here. I came in 1983 to teach clarinet. So I never want to let go of those roots. So.
Well, the concerts, I should tell our listeners, are Thursday and Friday. That's tomorrow and Friday at 7:30 at the Women's Club of Saugatuck. And as you mentioned, the crowds that appear for these concerts, they tend to be a mixture of locals as well as visitors. But one thing they've really cultivated over 30 years of giving these concerts is a sense of ownership, possession from the audience. They consider, you know, people like you their performers, and they expect you to kind of pipe up and talk about the music before it's played.
Yes, that's a nice part of this festival. It's very informal, and the musicians do introduce the pieces, and I think our comments at this festival may even be a little less formal than some, and sometimes we look for those off-the-wall little tidbits to throw in. But it's part of the culture there. You're right, the audience expects it. They get to know the performers. There's always a reception afterwards. You know, somebody once described chamber music as being a conversation among friends, which is very applicable. And, you know, for me to sit down with these musicians that I consider friends and make some great music is very special. But I also include the audience in that conversation, that they're part of the dialogue and that we're responding to them and interacting with them both in the verbal introductions and then once when we start playing, you react to how the audience is reacting.
Let's look at the program. It's called A Mighty Handful.
Yes.
Why do you think the directors chose that title?
Well, that's in reference to the big piece on the concert, at least lengthwise, is the Rimsky-Korsakov Quintet. And he was one of the Mighty Five or Mighty Handful. But as Jenny put the program together, she said, there also seemed to be an awful lot of notes in this. So it's like there's a mighty handful of notes, which is true, too. It's a very apt title for this opening concert.
You've got quartets and quintets, and that also kind of, to me, is a handful of people coming together. The first piece on the program is not by a composer that you see on concert programs all that often. His name is it Bernard Crusell?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is he associated with a time period or an instrument, or what can you tell
me? Well, he's mainly known to clarinetists because he was an excellent clarinetist. He lived at almost exactly the same time as Beethoven, and he's probably regarded as the most well-known of the Finnish composers of that classical period, but it's a pretty small pool.
Yeah, can't name any, any at all.
But he always considered himself Finnish, although he spent most of his time in Sweden. And he was sort of a prodigy on the clarinet, very intuitive player, seemed to be a brilliant man. He was a linguist, and he translated a number of operas from the standard Italian, French, German repertoire into Swedish for those audiences. But as a clarinetist, he was quite accomplished, and knowing what the clarinet was capable of, and at that time it was developing it was a much more sophisticated instrument than even the clarinet of Mozart's time. So in terms of technical capabilities, it could do more. And he was a virtuoso performer, and in his writing, it really does reflect that. So even though his music tends more towards the classical side, it does have a virtuoso element for the clarinet writing, because he knew the instrument well, and he featured himself in those. So I would tell my students that it was sort of a cross between Mozart and Weber. It had the elegance and clarity of Mozart, and had the virtuoso bravura aspects of Weber.
Did he travel as a virtuoso, or did he find the right setting for himself and work from there?
He was pretty accomplished. He studied in Germany and Paris, so he was known as a performer there. But like I say, he spent most of his time in Sweden and sort of known for his work there.
Now, in the back of my mind, the name Mendelssohn is sort of knocking on the door. Was there ever an association with Mendelssohn and Crusell?
I believe there was. I don't know anything formal about that, though.
Okay. So. All right. Mendelssohn knew some clarinetists, or had bet with some clarinetists at some point. So Bernard Crusell starts the program. It's his Opus 2 clarinet quartet in E-flat major, and I just looked at my the thing I have queued up, and it says C minor, so I'm going to have to have you maybe round out some more thoughts while I find the proper piece.
Okay.
So we can listen to the opening movement of this.
All right.
Talk about your co-musicians in this. Heijin Choi is the violin, Viola Barbara Corbato and Hyunji Choi cello.
Yes, and they've been longtime members of Saugatuck. I've played with them long enough. I at some point you sort of forget the repertoire that you've done with everybody. But one of the nice things about these festivals is, and particularly in the first concert, they like to do repertoire that blends strings and winds. In this particular concert, the works with strings are smaller in scale. It's not like the Schubert Octet or the Beethoven Septet, but it it's a diverse program, and it works very well. So it's nice to play with them in these smaller settings, and they're great musicians. And it's been a wonderful week of rehearsals.
The Chamber Music of Saugatuck is held at the Women's Club of Saugatuck on the corner of Butler and Hoffman. And this is the opening week, a series of 6 weeks of concerts. And it's called A Mighty Handful. Details at saugatuckmusic.org. And why don't we listen to that first movement of the quartet number one in E-flat, okay. Opus 2. Great music for a summertime concert.
Very delightful, yeah. And well written for clarinet. All those florid runs lay very well because Roussel knew what he was doing. So
I'm talking with Bradley Wong, who will be featured in this week's concerts at the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck. And you said that the instrument he played was a little more sophisticated than just a generation before that. And I'm thinking this is early 1800s.
Yes.
Is your instrument very similar to his, or does...
No, and I have great admiration for the people who play on period instruments or copies of period instruments, because they will play works like that or the Weber concertos and on those instruments that were... They were still quite primitive compared to what we play today.
Mm-hmm. Just basically a tube with holes,
right,
that you,
yeah,
cover.
They just kept
directly
adding more keys. But of course, in doing that, it made it less efficient. So it was even more difficult to produce and sustain a sound. But I think Roussel's clarinet, he was known for his fluidity and his technique. So he obviously was able to make it work.
Mm-hmm. So. Must have been good at... Back then, certainly, musicians must have been even better at being a technician and repairing their own instruments.
Yes. And actually, there was, for the wind playing, there was no real tradition yet. And back at that time, most clarinetists played with the reed up, as Roussel did. And then at some point, he switched to the reed down.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Yes. Because a lot of clarinetists then were... started as oboists, so it didn't matter to them whether the reed was up or down. So it was sort of at that time that they realized that there are two different schools. There were actually the reed up school and the reed down school. So
this is new to me. How can I have gotten to this age and not known that there was an optional mouthpiece orientation, yep, for clarinetists? Yep. It seems to me you could manipulate a reed much easier with your jaw than with like your upper teeth or something.
Yes, yeah. But again, if you were an oboist and you were used to dealing with that, it didn't really matter that much. So it evolved into the way we do it today.
I have to ask if this quartet was your suggestion. I'm not sure how a pianist like Drew Lee or a violinist like Jennifer Walford would think to program Roussel.
But actually, it came from Jenny. She said, would you like to do a Roussel quartet? And I love the quartets and haven't played any of them. I said, I would love to. So so it was her idea, and it works very well in the program. The music is very elegant. And like I say, even though he was at that time of Beethoven, the writing tends to be more classically oriented. There's every now and then there's a funny little gesture that he'll throw on that is uniquely Roussel's. It starts with this beautiful string introduction, But right before the clarinet comes in, they play this brusque little fanfare. Grisel spent a lot of time in military bands, and I think that was sort of his gesture towards that. So every now and then there's something unique about his writing, but it's delightful writing, and it will make a great opening for the concert.
I think of chamber music in this era as being activity for the bourgeois class, for the chance to, let's get together and play.
Yes,
you have the Grisel, I have a Mozart, let's get together and play. Even though, you know, it's being written by a virtuoso who would ask much of the clarinetist, but why not give it a try?
Yes.
Maybe you can modify it, you know, if you're an amateur at home, you can sort of skip a few measures or...
You can make it work in however you need to do it.
Yeah. Fun activity. Well, again, this concert, or two concerts, I should say, are at 7:30 p.m. Thursday and Friday at the Woman's Club of Saugatuck, opening a series of 6 weeks of concerts. I believe it's the 32nd season of the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck. This concert's called A Mighty Handful, and we've just looked at Bernard Grisel's Clarinet Quartet No. 1. This is followed by music for English horn and string trio by Jean Francais. And we're jumping a century here, basically.
Yes, and I think, you know, Jenny and Drew just, they had the string trio there, and they wanted to feature another wind instrument with them. This is a work sort of like Grisel, and being very well-known to clarinetists, Francais is well-known to wind players. In fact, it's sort of a rite of passage for wind quintets to play the first Francais quintet, which is like learning 20 pages of a French etude book and then putting it together with four other people. The difference being, it's, you don't think of the English horn as being one of those instruments that's so facile that it can play all these, you know, Francais was a pianist, so it was easy for him to sit down at a keyboard and say, oh, let's have them do this. It doesn't always lay well for any of the wind instruments, and particularly for the English horn. And even the string players were complaining about the complexity of the writing because it was new to them.
I've always felt like Jean Francais lived on a different frequency than everyone else. We're at a slower frequency.
Right. And the interesting thing is, you listen to his music, you listen to a good performance, and it's carefree and has all the joie de vivre, but it's harder than the Dickens. And it shouldn't appear that way to the audience, but the performers are working really hard to make that happen. So,
the piece is a trio or a quartet for English horn and string trio. And as you said, Brad, I, when we think of English horn, we think of like the Dvorak ninth and that beautiful lyrical sound it achieves.
Yes, and in fact, this was a commission that a prominent oboist English horn player made, of Francais, and he references that he realized that he was criticized quite a bit for writing sort of happy, carefree music. And he said, so writing for the English horn and its consumptive temperament gave him a chance to give them something more melancholy, even though he said, I gave them enough happy moments to hopefully provide an antibiotic to that disease. So it is typical Francais. It has elements of jazz and ragtime. It has the slow movements, have these long, sustained, beautiful melodies on top of very spiky harmonies. So it is a delightful work, and it's not played very often because it is difficult.
That's right.
So this will be a good opportunity to hear, again, another piece that isn't done often but should be performed more.
I'm with clarinetist Brad Wong, who will be featured this week at the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck in its opening concerts. And why don't we listen to the opening of the Francais Quartet for English Horn and String Trio.
Thank you.
Well, that was not just the first movement, but the first and second movement of Jean-Francais's quartet for English horn or corps anglais and string trio. And if you tuned in during the music, we're highlighting it because it's one of the pieces on the opening concerts of the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck. My guest is Bradley Wong, who will be a clarinetist performing this week. And obviously you're sitting out this piece, but you had some wonderful insight into Francais. And I guess the last thing I would want to mention about him is he was very long-lived.
Yes, yeah.
He created his sound in the 1920s, 30s?
20s, yeah.
And he lived most of the century.
Right, and very productive. There's so much repertoire out there that isn't played very often just because of the vast amount of it. but it's all delightful. What you just heard was very representative of his writing.
So. And you'll hear a great deal of it and another movement on Thursday and Friday at 7:30 p.m. is when the concerts begin. The opening concert is called A Mighty Handful, and we're about to sort of get to the reason for that. Tickets are available through the website saugatuckmusic.org, and the concerts are held at the Woman's Club of Saugatuck, as always, corner of Butler and Hoffman in the city of Saugatuck. So Rimsky-Korsakov is the last, a work by Rimsky-Korsakov is the last on the program. And earlier you said he was one of the Mighty Five.
Right, yes. And this is an unusual work. There are not a lot of quintets, so it's flute, clarinet, horn, bassoon, and piano. There's also a Spohr work with that instrumentation, but nothing in a Rubinstein work.
Oh, could we get back to were the five?
Okay.
we can see if we can put them all together.
So Balakirev was sort of the head. Cesar Cui. Mussorgsky, Borodin, and Rimsky.
And Rimsky-Korsakov. So, Tchaikovsky's still on the outside.
Right, yes.
Looking in.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And Rimsky-Korsakov was interesting because he was really, because of his military career, he didn't study his composition at that same level that some composers did. And he's known as a great orchestrator. A lot of that was really intuitive. And when he started teaching at the St. Petersburg Conservatory, he realized that there was a lot of theory and counterpoint that he hadn't formally studied. So he considered himself, he set out to become the best pupil there in addition to being a teacher. And he stopped composing publicly as he sort of worked on that craft. And this piece came right after that. So he wrote it for a competition. The piece didn't win. He attributed it to the pianist who sight-read the piece was not very good, and he felt like he was sort of shortchanged. However, it was never published until after his death. So I think we consider it sort of an early work for him. You do hear the wonderful orchestration skills. I think compositionally, he's still trying to find his voice. So it's a piece that isn't done a lot. You have to work, the performers have to work to make it a successful performance, and I'm confident we will. We've enjoyed working on it. There's a lot of really engaging music in it, and the places that we sort of have to think through and say, okay, let's do it this way to make it more convincing, we've been able to do. So.
And if you are attracted to color, this provides a wealth of that
because
of the winds. And there's such a variety of sounds they can make solo and in combinations and with piano. I think that's really neat.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, every group on this program has a very different sonority to it. And it's always interesting how much sound can be made with a good orchestrator. It's not just volume. It's how things are scored. But these four winds and the addition of piano produces really some wonderful colors.
And you mentioned like a handful of works, that's about it, that use this combination?
I think Jenny and Drew looked at other the other quintets, and there's, I think they only knew of the Rubinstein, and I don't know that piece. The Spohr, I also don't know. That would be worth looking into. But those are the three main pieces for this. Now, of course, there's the famous Mozart and Beethoven quintets that have oboe instead of flute. Mm. So this is one of the few, again, one of the three quintets that use the flute in combination with the piano.
On stage for the chamber music of Saugatuck is very often a combination of faculty members from Western or Hope College, instrumentalists from the Grand Rapids Symphony or yes. the Kalamazoo Symphony. It's very much a Western Michigan focused series, although there will be a couple concerts in upcoming weeks that feature visiting groups.
Right, yeah. But I think this festival has always, it has a core roster that of strings and winds that are a very special part of the festival for the audience and for the players.
Will you be heading to Saugatuck later today to rehearse for tomorrow's concert?
Right after this, right after we're done here.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to finally close up with, back to Western Michigan University and your tenure as a music director. The word is out that you will be, in fact, retiring after the next school year.
I have announced my retirement. So I look forward to serving this university and the college for one more year. And then after that, I just intend to go to lots of performances in the audience.
You'll become the face we all know enjoying the music, which is well-deserved.
This is an amazing community to be active in as a performer and as an audience member. So I look forward to both ends of that.
Well, I look forward to seeing even more of you in the audience. Let's finish up this hour with a first movement from the Rimsky-Korsakov Quintet for winds and piano. I do love this recording by Capricorn. Came out in 1993. I think it's a British ensemble, but I think they overcame any of those difficulties you mentioned.
Great. Wonderful.
Enjoy your concerts this week.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.